When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to this week's edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Just the 6 of us today. Arlo celebrating his little girl's birthday. So we've got Lee Dixon, Carl Martino, Greg Musto, Robbie Earle, and Robbie Musto, alongside myself, Rebecca Lowe. Hope everybody out there who's listening or who's watching this on the NBC Sports YouTube channel are doing well and staying as healthy as can be right now. We are, fingers crossed, 3 or 4 weeks away from bringing you back some Premier League football. And it's been an interesting week, certainly, since we last all caught up, guys, because the players voted to go back, or the clubs, I should say, voted to go back to small group training. And we have actually been seeing some of that footage on social media. They've been, obviously, helicopters going above the training grounds, and you can actually zoom down and see what's happening at all the training grounds. There'll be another big vote on Tuesday, the 26th, if you're listening to this, which is next Tuesday, to vote to go back to contact training. And then another vote 2 days later, Thursday the 28th, which will be the vote to decide whether or not they want to restart and finish the 2019-2020 Premier League season. And if they vote against that, of course, they need 14 or more votes over the 20 clubs. If they vote against restarting it, they will in that meeting apparently be deciding how they will finish this season. Will it be a points per game ratio at average? Will it be a null and void? Unlikely. But what will it be? How will they finish the season if they don't restart? So it's another big 7 or 8 days coming up for the Premier League. But let's just reflect, shall we? Graham, I'm going to start with you. Over the last 7 days, as I say, we've seen the players go back to training. We have, though, seen more players come out, the likes of Troy Deeney, who has come out and said he doesn't want to go back to training. He won't be going back. He's a 5-month-old who has breathing problems. He doesn't want to take back COVID, possibility of taking back COVID-19 into his household. We've had 6 players / staff test positive for COVID-19 from 748 tests that came out yesterday. Apparently Norwich City are the last club to be tested. We haven't got their results yet. And everybody will be tested again at the end of the week as well. So, Graham, how has the last 7 days affected your thinking, if at all?
Well, it hasn't changed at all, really. I think it was really interesting, our conversation last week, where we spoke about what it would be like from a player's perspective. And that's really played out in terms of the sort of sound bites we're getting and the information we're getting from individual players and clubs. And it's really important. And it was the point Lee made last week about, you know, his feelings about whether he would feel comfortable going back into an environment that just is so uncomfortable. And it's no coincidence, I don't think, that players are sort of airing their views, and if they've got their own individual circumstances, then they should be listened to and respected, and no player should be judged on that, given the situation. But I think when we look at players getting back to training, you know, it's like when you come back for pre-season as a player, you know, the days leading up to it is dreadful, because you think you've not done enough of your own training, you know it's going to be hard, but you're really looking forward to seeing everyone and getting back out on the pitch. And guaranteed the players will be delighted to be sort of let off their leashes and able to train, albeit within sort of socially distancing regulations. So I think it would be very positive. It's been a very positive week. Obviously, we've got the backdrop of the Bundesliga first round back again, which was a huge success. I think it really shows how football can cope, albeit slightly differently with resuming. But they're really showing the way, and hopefully will continue to do so that it makes it that little bit easier for us in the Premier League to sort of understand that football can be finished and can be finished in a safe way.
We're going to get on to the Bundesliga. I want to get everyone's thoughts on what they felt when they watched that at the weekend, and how that could relate to how the Premier League was put on. Robbie Musto, where are you in your thinking? What have you observed the last 7 days?
Yeah, I think it has been positive. I think it's really interesting that certain players will feel strongly. And I think we've agreed that if certain players don't feel right to come back training and playing, then they won't. I think we have to realise that the vast majority, the football clubs, all the managers have agreed to this phase one, which we're seeing now, and the players starting to come back into training. You mentioned it, Rebecca. Now it's between now and Tuesday is critical, isn't it? Because if the players, the majority of the players feel more confident about training, about what's going on, about the amount of testing, about the whole situation, now they're back at their training grounds, then, you know, we're fingers crossed that by Tuesday, there'll be enough people positive and confident enough to say, you know what, let's get into the contact, because that's going to lead everything. So between now and Tuesday is critical. I haven't changed my thoughts on what I feel. It seems like the vast majority of all involved are okay with this phase one. So they go ahead, and I think it's the right way to do it in phases. And if between now and Tuesday there's a difference, or Norwich City, there's a lot more players than expected have come out positive, then that will affect Tuesday. But the six people, Rebecca, in 648 or whatever it was, that number is a good number compared to, I think, what they saw in the Bundesliga and other European leagues. So it's kind of in line with what we've seen in other leagues, in other countries. The Bundesliga had that and have found a way to get back. There's no question they've been ahead of the UK in all aspects of dealing with this virus. So the steps are there. And of course, with respect to those that don't want to play and feel that those risks are too much for them and their family, you respect that. But the vast majority seem to be okay with continuing this phase. And fingers crossed, we're going to be okay into next week.
I think the Bundesliga numbers were about 10 positive tests out of around 1,500, 1,600. So it's a similar kind of ratio, yeah. Not including, as I said, one more club, we think Norwich to come. Robbie Earle, what's in your mind?
I agree with the guys. I think it's a positive step that there's only sort of six positive cases that came out. I think it's a positive week in terms of where we all are back in. I think we all feel now within a month or so, we're going to get something being played on the pitch, which wasn't the case before. Well, I do think there's two things I want to make a point of. I think the communication to the players, or seemingly the players involved in conversations, seems to me as though that could be improved. Players should be part of each conversation. I believe there was the captains of every club were fielding questions from the teammates and putting them to Premier League, to health officials, to maybe government people who were involved in conversations. And I believe there was a few questions that stumped a few of the so-called experts, that they weren't sure of what was happening. So I'd like the players bought on this, the journey and part of the communication a little bit more. What I thought was really interesting, I thought it was something I really should bring up myself as well, was the Troy Deeney has sort of divided opinions, and he's said that he's not gone back this week with phase one. And I think as players and ex-players, we can only really put ourselves back in that situation and say, what would I do in a similar situation? Now, I've got a 24-year-old daughter who is slightly asthmatic. Now, if I was at the time where she was just born, I would have to think about what consequences playing would be for her. If I was living back in the Midlands where I started, my father's on the critical care list. He's got respiratory problems, got some lung problems. I would have to think about, would I be comfortable going back playing? Or in other ways, I'd probably have to stay away from my dad during the period that I was training and playing. The third thing that's obviously come out is for black and ethnic minority people, there's a higher susceptibility of picking up this disease. And as yet, there seems to be there's no science or data that's telling us why. There doesn't seem to be any more controls for somebody of my colouring who would go back in there. And quite rightly, Troy Deeney's asking questions and saying, until you give me the guarantees that I'm going into a safer environment because I'm more susceptible to the risk, then I'm not going to go back. And the more I think about it, the more I would say, I would probably have to do the same, Rebecca. I'd want some more assurances from the people that are giving me, or so-called experts, of how safe I'll be in that environment.
But that's the point, though, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt you, Rebecca, but that's the point, Robbie. All those really important points that you make there, it's timing. You know, they don't know at the moment. There's so much unknown about this, which is, I think, why we're all having to look at three or four different scenarios for every situation, because it is going to be a case of, as information is forthcoming, then maybe better decisions, more educated decisions can be made. And in the meantime, you've got to absolutely respect any individual that has concerns. You have to respect that and say, well, you know, appreciate the fact that they're prepared to stand behind that decision.
Robbie, just to come back on your that's absolutely valid, very, very interesting. But yeah. I suppose the problem arises when there are many people in the UK, across the world, who are having to go back to work of Black and Asian minority ethnicity who are not stepping into a world anywhere near as safe as what the Premier League are creating. I suppose that there will be, to flip the argument, to play devil's advocate, to the people who are not as supportive of Troy Deeney, or can maybe see a flaw in the argument, which is, but of all the jobs to do in the world right now, there is an argument that you're doing the safest one.
Yeah, there is an argument back, and I totally get it, and there's many first responders, people who essential workers, who are Black and ethnic minorities, who don't have the choice. But given where I am, given the choice, given the health of my family, I just want more assurances from those football authorities, as Graham says, more educated, a little bit more in terms of, you know, do I need to get tested more often than other players? Just give me some level of security, and then, yes, I totally agree. Then I'm in as safe an environment as I am going down to my store and picking up a few supplies.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian Mariappa, the Watford player, has come out this morning and said he's tested positive, and he can't really understand why, because other than going for walks, he hasn't left the house. His wife has done the shopping, but as we're finding out, I think maybe doing the shopping is about as dangerous as you can get in some ways. Kyle, where are you? Not where are you literally, because no one ever knows, but where are you in your mind? Some people would say no one ever knows as well, where you are in your mind. Where are you in your thinking, my friend?
Another episode of Where's Kyle? I'm where I have been, but with a little more information. And I still feel the same, that this is the right thing to do, to begin phasing in the play again and getting players back in training environments. And, you know, outside of the incredible awkwardness of hearing every word from the players when we were watching the Bundesliga game and, you know, coaches yelling from the sideline. I had joy watching that game and talked to a lot of people who are back in training, who are those that are players or fans that are feeling a lift in their life right now. And I think that's ultimately one of the big things that everyone was arguing for, is this brings joy to people in a time that is really difficult. And so I understand Troy Deeney's argument, and he has the right and should be respected for feeling that way. Just as when we talked last week, when Lee brought up his opinion of it, you know, we need to allow discourse and not have a zero sum game of, you know, everyone doesn't play or everyone plays or everyone goes back to work or everyone stays home. You know, Arlo, I think, said it best. We will live with this virus for a while. You know, a zero risk world is years away if that's what everyone's waiting for. 100% assurances that this is not going to impact you or someone you know is not coming anytime soon. So the reality is, it needs to be a calculus. The same calculus that we all make every time we leave the house every single day: is the risk worth taking in my specific situation? And then big groups that are responsible for multiple people, the Premier League and the clubs, need to make this decision together with the government. Is the risk of beginning to train and with an aim of starting the Premier League back up worth it? And I think everyone that sat and took every situation into account made the right decision to say, right now it is the right time to start to ramp back up society, because there is a sort of inverted U curve here of staying at home initially was so important, and some countries did it too late, and it was integral to trying to support the healthcare system so that we could catch back up with this thing. But the longer that we stay at home, the negative consequences that are real, that I'm seeing in friends and family on a daily basis, that are a result of what's happened to their job, what's happened to their profession, what's happened to their income, what's happened to their enjoyment, what's happened to their marriage, what's happened to their friendships. All of that impact, the longer we wait to ramp society back up, is going to be exponentially worse than the impact of COVID. And I honestly do believe that we can create a world in which we live with this virus in a responsible way. And I think that the Premier League are going about it in a very thoughtful way to try to figure out how do we get these players back out there. And if there's a Troy Deeney that says, not me, then that should be his right to say, no, Troy Deeney has decided he's not going to put himself in that position.
That's interesting. And I think you're right when you say the Premier League are going about it in a very thoughtful way, because Lee, it's very much baby steps. It does feel that way. Yes, the Premier League have talked about it for a long time, but and people have got frustrated that there hasn't been anything in concrete, but actually you could say the way they're doing it is much more thought out maybe than we thought it was going to be at the beginning, because there is no there's still no definitive. There's still no definite is coming back. Now, Lee, last week you were stronger than most in terms of it's not time yet. We have to make sure it's got to be safer than this, it's got to be safer than this. Yesterday, when you heard the news, Lee, about 6 positive tests and 748, was your first instinct, Lee, oh, that's made me feel a bit better? Or was it, no, that I'm still absolutely, it's too much of a risk? Where were you when you heard that news in your mind?
I think initially my doom and gloom side of me went, oh, see, 6 have got it. You know, Bob, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, I was right. They're all going to get it now, and it was cut. But obviously, if you look at the percentages, the amount of people tested, the amount of positives, etc., I've calmed down a little bit, and you look at it a little bit more rationally and say, well, that's good news. And I think that the fact that that we are doing baby steps and the Premier League are going about it the way they are, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. I think there's going to be from now until Tuesday, as Musty said, that's a big space of time that lots of things can happen. Probably not a lot, as in the individual cases, because I think that they're going about it with non-contact. If you think about the position the players are in when they go in, they get out the car, they get they're going to be sterile. It's going to be an environment where catching the virus is going to be very, very difficult. And I think the non-contact thing, the passing drills, it'll all be, and that's exactly how it should be for now. And I think that's the first step. And the Troy Deeneys of this world and the ones, the players that are coming out and saying they're uncomfortable with going to that stage, we respect that. And I don't know where I would be right now if I had somebody at home. I probably would be in the situation that that Robbie Earle said. He said there's not enough information for me to be able to risk somebody close, a loved one at home. So I think I wouldn't be going back right now. The next step, when you start to allow contact, that's the biggest hurdle next, when you start throwing contact in, players mingling in, you know, being touching each other and all of that sort of stuff. Then we're going to have more Troy Deeneys, and we're going to have more players coming out and going, because it's only going to take one or two players in your group to go to test positive, however that happens. And as you quite rightly said, we're not quite sure. You know, Mariappa's not even been in contact with anyone yet. He's tested positive. Ian Wone, obviously asymptomatic, has got the virus as well. I'm a little bit unsure as to what happens now at Burnley in regard to, obviously he's got 7 days isolation, but the people he's been in contact with, if the players have not been at the club,
You mean the players and the people at the club he's been in contact with? Because I'm assuming the people at the club he's been in contact with, he hasn't been in contact with them 6 feet or what, you know what I mean? So you mean those people, or you mean people in his family?
Well, I think at some point he'll have been in contact with somebody. I'm not saying he might not have done, but what I'm saying is there's a risk to that. So if you've got one asymptomatic person walking around, you've got others. And now they're being tested regularly now. So we're now in a position where we're kind of sterilising the whole of the Premier League group, but they're still going home and they're still mixing with people. So I think the next hurdle when you start throwing players together is going to be a big one. And I think if you get more positive tests, then we're in a position where we go, right, more players will start to say, I'm not comfortable with that. And then
one of the concerns for me is that we're all presuming, including the scientists, that this isn't airborne. If it's airborne, it changes everything. And there's still no proof either way, because it's such a new thing. No, you know, we're assuming that the 6 feet, being 6 feet away from each other, is safe distance. But that's an assumption.
It's an assumption, I suppose, though, Graham, based on data. If it were airborne, surely the numbers would be a lot more than they are right now. Before social distancing, you would have thought. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
No, nor am I. But
yeah. It was interesting as well. Dan Rose's come out and used the phrase lab rat, which I thought was quite strong, in that we shouldn't be as players being used as lab rats. And in some respect, and as Lee was talking, I was thinking about the Premier League could almost be leading it in some of the misinformation or lack of education that's out there. That we've seen maybe with social distancing and with players, if they stay away, they're fine. Maybe if all of a sudden we put people together and the numbers don't go up quite as high as we are, we can start to think about how that can go into the workplace. Well, the black and ethnic minorities, we don't know those numbers. Maybe if more information comes out, it'll help those black and ethnic first responders. So in a way, the Premier League could be leading a lot of the information that's needed on this.
That's true. They could definitely be the leader. And the other thing to think about is that they're going to get tested again before this vote. And I don't know when, but I'm told it's going to be towards the end of the week, maybe Friday, Saturday. Now, that will mean, I would suspect, that Tuesday's vote will have a lot to do with the outcomes of the second round of testing. So let's just say that they've got six in the first one. Let's just say they do it all week, small training. Then they all get tested again, not including the ones, obviously, who already tested. So then you've got, 742 negative. If they get zero out of 742, then you've got to say, okay. Well, that's good. That means it's probably not airborne. Not that we know, we're not doctors. But, okay, that is going to give people confidence. I think the results of the second round of tests is going to be huge as to whether or not they want to do contact. And then, of course, the first round of tests, once they've done contact, is going to be even bigger. So, Musty, I think you want to say something.
I was just going to ask Lee. So, right now, you wouldn't be comfortable going back. I just wondered, a difficult question, but what would it take? Like, what can change, Lee, that would change your mind? I don't know, in terms of more time. I mean, I don't know. What would have to change?
I was saying if I was in Troy Deeney's position when if he had an asthmatic baby at home.
Right.
He was in that position, I wouldn't. There's not enough information out there for me. The fact that you can, and he summed it up brilliantly, I thought, when he said, you know, the fact that I can't go and have my hair cut, but I can go into a penalty area and, you know, after next week and head and challenge for a ball with 20 players. So the difference in the.
The difference is that the barber and the barber's family and the people have not been tested. But the footballers in the penalty area have. Surely that's the difference there.
So you're categorically saying that when the players are all zero and nobody's got it, that football's safe. You could lock them all up and we could play a whole season with all those players staying in one place and no one get it. That's what you're saying. And you don't know, you can't say that because you're not a doctor. And the doctors can't really say it because they don't really know. So
I'm just saying that the difference between what Troy Deeney said was, why can't I get a haircut? I can go to penalty box. Well, the reason why you can't get a haircut is because, unfortunately, barbers and hairdressers are not being tested twice a week. So the risk is higher. Footballers are being tested twice a week. There's always a risk. There's still going to be a risk.
Yeah,
but the risk is lower.
Correct. And the at the moment for him, the risk is too high for him to go back to training.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's got to get his hair. I think he's got to get his hairdresser in that penalty box.
Yeah, that's the answer.
I did learn how to cut my own hair. If Troy needs a tutorial,
no, you didn't. You didn't. You didn't learn.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Boys, let's move it on to the Bundesliga. I know a couple of you mentioned it there. Let's start. Rabia, what did you think when you watched it this weekend? How did you feel about the... forget the whether or not they should be playing or not. Let's imagine that this week, or let's imagine that next week the Premier League's coming back and we're all going to be on there and we're going to have no fans in the stadium. It's going to look like that. Tell me how you felt about it and how you think the fans will feel about it.
Well, I actually watched a Saturday game, which was the Dortmund game, the first game, which was 6:30 West Coast time. And I have to admit, I went to bed on the Friday night with a little bit of those nerves. I put my alarm on, I got up, watched the game, and it fulfilled me, Bex. It fulfilled me, is the thing I would say. Yes, there was no crowd, the echoes weren't great, but the competitive edge, the, not intensity, but the mindset of both sets of players, the quality in some of the finishing, it gave me a sense of, wow, we're not far away. I'm looking forward to the Premier League. And I know that there was no hugging, there was no spats, there was no challenges where players were coming up to each other, which is part of the narrative and the great character in what we've got, and especially the Premier League. I was happy, I've got to admit. And I know other people have had some negative thoughts, but for me, it gave me a sense of it's back and we've got something that we can start to enjoy. And this might be what football's going to be for the next 12, 18 months. We don't know, but for me, it definitely felt nourishing.
It's interesting because I think it was jarring for a little bit. Like, oh, this is weird. This is like watching either a really bad lower league game where you can hear the one man and his dog, or like watching a training session in one of those domes. It felt like it was indoors actually when I was watching it. But I agree with you from my perspective. I grew up playing football in the back garden with no one watching. I played football in the park. No, like that's, we don't play football. You don't enjoy and love the game purely because of who's watching and the atmosphere. You love it because of it stands, the beauty of the game can stand alone. So that's, I agree. I was fully nourished. Lee Dixon, go on.
Just one little thing. And just you mentioned that. When we all grew up and we're all, you know, been out in the fields and playing, you used to make that crowd noise in your head. You remember when you scored a goal and your mate's an overhead kick and you'd be, you kind of, and that's almost what I was doing at the weekend when Haaland scores a great goal and gets in. I'm thinking about crowd noise in my head.
Yeah, I think because we're so used to it as well. Dicko, yeah. what did you feel like when you watched it?
Very, very similar to Robbie. I was, you know, it was nice to see football back. We all knew it was going to be weird. We, you know, the first 10 or 15 minutes of it, you're kind of looking at it going, well, yeah, well, we can. But once the game starts and you see the players interacting and doing their stuff and the skill, etc., you kind of, I almost forgot what was going on. I think what was pretty evident was the importance of the commentary team. So no pressure on Graham and myself, but I think that they kind of play a big part. And you know, you've kind of, I was just talking to Pierre before, and we were talking about that type of thing. And it's almost, you know, we talk about let it breathe. We've almost got to make it breathe. You know, it's kind of that, it's the opposite. You've kind of got to just, you know, cajole it along a little bit. And so that'll be different when we actually get to go to a game and commentate on it. So, but I'm, you know, it's great to see it back. You know, it sounds from, you know, my last couple of weeks that I'm kind of all doom and gloom and I don't want football to start again. Of course I do. You know, I'm just a little bit wary of the other side of things, the medical side and the, you know, the conscious side about what's going on in the, on the front line and all of that sort of stuff. So I'm a bit mixed up at the moment. But once you see a game in front of you unfolding and see goals, and it's just, that's why we're all sitting here talking about it, because this is just a brilliant game.
Musty, did you love it?
Yeah, of course I loved it. I actually switched over to Leipzig game. I think it was like 2-0 or 3-0, the Dortmund game. I switched over and the Leipzig game was a little bit more intense. Celebrations were weird. Substitutes, positionings was weird. Face masks, it just looked very, very weird. I think I was watching the first game and Caroline said, wow, it sounds like they're playing in a swimming pool. It was like a swimming, when you used to go, kids would go swimming.
Yeah. And
the swim meets and stuff. It was that kind of weirdness. So, sound. I think we should have a quick conversation about sound. Now, I did a little poll do we want the natural sound of the game? The ball hitting the net was kind of cool, and a few other sounds are cool, and the managers and the players screaming at each other. Or do we want, if it's done well, the crowd sound, whether it's a broadcaster or from the stadium, probably broadcaster, isn't it? I don't know. To enhance the game. Because most of the time, the game is shot. And Earl's laughing already. No? Well, my pulse...
Kyle's idea a few weeks ago.
Right. I'm with Kyle. But listen, there's novelty right now, and it's great. We love watching football, and it's kind of cool. That's going to get old. After a few games of watching it, it's going to get old. If you've got somebody smart on a little deck, I could totally do it. And you can.
That's smart.
You said Jasto.
You can pipe in a little bit of like oohs and ahs and songs and little chants and rhythms and then goal celebrations. It could be really, really good. And when you're sat in your living room and the shot is tight on the pitch, you wouldn't know. You hear the sounds. I just feel quite strongly that that's going to have to come in. If we're living this for a year or not longer, it's going to get blimmin' sterile. Pipe in the music. Who's with me?
Bex, is there a button on my thing where I can mute Musto?
Dicko, think about it.
Do that.
Don't go too far, like we're starting to get too many oohs and ahs and that. A little bit of noise, I'm with you.
Earl's in. Kmart's in.
But with caveats.
There it is. It's
go
just
on, Carl.
Like, I've got an announcement. It's just like when you go to a concert, right? The music is great, but when you add the light, And the light man who's basically watching and it's what light do we need for what moment? You can get sound. I have a goal system where goals are celebrations in the past that you have in the database on a 5-point system. A one star goal is like, you know, it's 5-0 and you scored one goal or you scored your sixth, and a 5-rating goal is like the winner in the 90th minute. Have someone there, a little keyboard. You know, just
totally,
just, and also pipe it in for players, pipe it in so the players can hear it. I'm telling you, it's almost like Pavlov's dog. If players hear fans sound,
yeah, put headphones on all the players. Let's make it like FIFA.
Well, you got the crowd in there as well.
Come on, Dicko, you'll love it.
Bex, it's all on you. What do you feel like?
Graham hasn't answered.
No. I think it's ambitious, but I'm not for me. I'm too traditional. Noise. Hear the footballers screaming at each other.
I would be with kind of Graham and Lee. However, what might change my opinion is that I do believe that you're right, Musty, when you say this is right now, very early days. We're like, oh, football's back. And then come November, we're going to be like, oh my God, this is just like depressing. Like no noise. So I would be willing to see how it goes naturally.
Yeah, I'm in that grid, Bex. See how it goes.
Yeah, let's be flexible. And if we need to enhance naturally, then we can do that as the season goes.
I think Musty's definitely been in isolation too long.
He's been in that room for
9 weeks.
It's just you two old timers are not agreeing with it. The four of us are up for it.
No. Have you turned that round? Have you count again? That's not four.
One, two, three, four.
No, how's that one, two? It's you and Kyle. Two.
No.
Two maybes. We got two maybes.
Two trials.
Oh, goodness me.
And Kyle clearly has got a business angle already, so he can count. He's got his own agenda he's pushing there.
I sat in a booth and did 700 lines of possible scenarios for a video game. I mean, how are you not counting?
Dicko's well versed with that.
Yeah, it would turn into a FIFA game, and it would just be, you know, who'd you get on the decks? You know, you put you on the decks, you're going to do your oohs when your ahs should be there. It'd be just an absolute nightmare. It'd be a nightmare.
They'll bring in the beats. It'll be amazing.
Well, I don't think it's off the table, put it that way. I don't think this is certainly a conversation that's being had amongst many people in the broadcasting world to try and do what's best for the fan. You know, perhaps they do, I don't know, who knows, but I think that it has to be discussed, and it is being discussed. I know they're certainly discussing it in the UK. I've seen it on social media. So we will see whether or not that happens. Boys, you know, I think we've covered the two big angles, the Bundesliga angle, and which I think everyone enjoyed, and of course, what's happening right now and in the timeline that we're in. This time next week, we will be back, as always, on Wednesday, by which time we will know a lot more. So I feel like after a couple of months of it being a slow burn, we are now heading into a time where things could happen rather rapidly. And who knows, perhaps in a couple of weeks, we'll be all set to actually see each other face to face. So we will see, but make sure everybody joins us on the Premier League on NBC podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. Until then, everybody stay safe and take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.